here.
Conference record has joined the conference.
Oh. Yeah, she had said it at 10 to the hour.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I see Greg's not on yet. Oh, yeah, Greg's on.
Hey, Greg. No, I don't think so.
No, I saw him just join. Hi, it's Megan. I saw him just join. So I'll make him hi. So you all are on?
Uh-huh.
Okay, great. I made Kate and Greg presenters. Wanda, I don't see. Have you logged in to?
Yeah, we're logged in and I have a presentation.
Oh, are you Bill Colley?
I'm Bill Colley today.
Okay, I'll make Bill a presenter. Perfect. Okay, then. Great. So Bill, Greg, and Kate, you are all presenters, so I'll switch the slides as we go through. Switch the presentations at the end because I didn't combine them into one because all the graphics were getting messed up. So.
Okay.
Yeah, and I just, sorry I wasn't on right at 10 to 1 or 10 to 2. I just started recording the call. So for folks who are just joining us, this is the EPA RLF webinar, Acing an Audit, Managing Your RLF Grant File. We're going to get started right at the top of the hour at 2. Please make sure that you are on mute. I can force mute everyone, but would prefer to just have everyone stay on mute and just let the presenter speak. And please log on to follow along on the slides to the RLF webinar link that was sent out with the invitation. And we'll get started right at the top of the hour at 2. Thanks so much for joining us.
Is this an hour?
I don't know. It depends. Sometimes I think they black out for an hour and it takes 20 minutes.
Oh.
This one may take some time. You know. Are you here all day? You didn't just come in for the minute, did you?
No, I'm going to stay the rest of the day probably.
Hi, you're joining the RLF EPA RLF webinar. Just a quick reminder to try to stay on mute. I think we heard a couple conversations just to make sure that everybody can hear the presenters when they are speaking. I'm happy to force mute if it becomes an issue, but would like to just have everyone keep their phones on mute unless you're asking a question. So we'll get started at the top of the hour, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Hi, folks. If you're just joining us, we are just about to get started on the EPA RLF webinar, Acing an Audit, Managing Your RLF Grant File. We'll get started in just about two or three more minutes, just allowing for a couple more folks to join. Please make sure you're signed in on the share Adobe Connect. And please remember to keep your phones muted. At all times, I am happy to force mute if we get any background noise, but would prefer to just have folks be on mute themselves. And we will get started.
Did he log in with his?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Maybe I'll have to force mute before we even get started.
What's for, it's right there. It's on that pink.
You may have to force mute.
Yeah, I'm going to force mute right now, and then Wanda, the presenters can just unmute.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and do that now, and then we'll get started.
The leader has muted your line. To unmute your line, press #6.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started. As I said, this is the EPA RLF webinar. Thank you so much for your patience for us rescheduling this. We were, of course, closed. I was hoping that we would not be when we originally scheduled this for the 3rd, but I was obviously overly optimistic. So it took us a little while to get this back on the calendar, but we're really glad you stuck with us and so many people are joining us today. I always sort of start this off with a spiel about where we're getting the ideas for these webinars and that sort of information. But first, just wanted to let folks know that I have force muted your phone. If you need to ask a question, you can unmute your phone by hitting #6. And or you can just ask your question by entering it into the chat window that's on your Adobe Connect screen while you're following along with the presentation. I will post everything after the webinar, including the audio, on the Brownfields website. The link is posted in the chat box. Excuse me, the link is posted in the chat box, so you can look for it here, but I'll also send it out to your POs and they can forward it to you. So my name is Megan Quinn, and I work at the Brownfields program here in Washington, D.C. at headquarters, and I am the national manager of the entire RLF program. And we try to do these webinars about once every 6 to 8 weeks. All of these topics have come out of a planning group that we put together when we thought we were going to be able to have an RLF meeting. That, because of budget constraints and all sorts of other things, hasn't come to fruition yet, but we still are hoping to have one in the future. And in the meantime, we're taking some of those planned sessions from the meeting that never happened that your colleagues, your fellow RLF grantees developed. We're taking some of those topics and putting them on as webinars. So we have a great group today. I know this isn't the most exciting of topics, but we think that it is a very important topic. And as I said, many of your colleagues requested that we walk through exactly what you should keep in your grant file. So with that, I will stop talking and I will turn it over to the wonderful Wanda Jennings. She is an RLF project officer in EPA Region 4 in Atlanta, and she's going to get us started. So I'll turn it over to you, Wanda. And Wanda, you need to unmute your phone because I force muted everyone.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Revolving Loan Fund webinar on grants file management for ASIN and auditing. Well, for ASIN and audit. And by the way, happy Halloween. It is October the 31st. Next slide, please. Next slide. That's good. Okay, again, my name is Wanda Jennings, and I'm going to talk a little bit about our approach to grant files management here in Region 4. Now, keep in mind, the way that we approach this topic point may be slightly different from your approach. The main thing that I want you to take away from this topic is basically ideas and concepts on how and what to document for your revolving loan fund grant records. I have about 10 slides that I plan to cover from a revolving loan fund project officer point of view. And then I'm going to turn it over to our seasonal grantees, Greg Bidet, who is the Economic Development Coordinator for Treasure Coast Regional Planning Council, located in Stuart, Florida, and Kate O'Hara, who serves as the Regional Brownfields Initiative Project Manager for Land of Sky Regional Planning Council, located in Asheville, North Carolina. Next slide. So, I better sign a revolving loan fund grant. Somebody, anybody, help me. What do I do first? Next slide. Well, you get organized. As a revolving loan fund project officer, I am totally responsible for overseeing and monitoring the revolving loan fund grant to ensure that all of the financial and all of the environmental cleanup components are met. Now, to help us with this in Region 4, we use the best first approach by setting up what we call our six parts folder. Here in Region 4, within our Brownfields program, we kind of sort of wear three hats, as you can see on the screen here. We are the project officer lead, the grants lead, and as well as the technical. Now, other regions may be set up a little bit differently than us here in Region 4. I don't know if this is still true today, but in some regions, the revolving loan fund project officer just wears just two hats. That being said, just the project officer and the technical leads are the one and the same. And whereas your grants component lead person, that is kind of handled by another group of core folks. But like I said, I'm not sure if that is still true in other regions today. But then again, like I said, in Region 4, we kind of like wear three hats. We the PO, the grant, and the technical lead. Okay, here's how we divide out our six-part folder. And as you can see here, it's divided out into, from parts one through part six. In part one, we have our pre-award docs. In part two, our post-award. Three, our progress reports and all of the deliverables. And four, our post-award monitoring documents. Five, correspondences. And six, mostly just our brownfields proposal information. And then I'll go into kind of like what goes into each one of the various parts. Part one, your pre-award docs. This could include, but it's not limited to, your grant application, your work plan comments and approval, your commitment notices, your funding recommendation, your cost review analysis, your competition documents, and other related documents. Again, this is not the end-all, be-all. This is some of the things that could be in your part one. Part two, you may have your award agreement, and that can include all of your terms and your conditions, and we have a lot of T&Cs that come along with a revolving loan fund grant. You can include also your change request to the original agreement. Give an example of this. Say you have like a budget modification, or you may have some changes to the original work plan. You may want to include this in your part two, and as well as all of your closeout reports and agreements. Now, part three, which is termed here, your progress reports and deliverables. This here is actually our biggest folder compartment, because we try to capture all of these technical documents pertaining to what it took to make that loan or that subgrant agreement, and then all of your deliverables. This could include your APCAs, your cleanup work plans, your QAPs for confirmation sampling, and other documents. Another large subset under this part three, we also include here in Region 4 our quarterly reports. Now, since over the life of a non-typical five-year revolving loan fund grant, you're looking at about, 18 reports? So what I do, I tend to just make a whole separate folder because this becomes increasingly large over time. Next slide. Okay, in part four, the post-award monitoring, we include your claims for reimbursement. And what I mean by this, I'm talking about your receipts from the grantees, invoices. We include your baseline monitoring reports, any advanced monitoring reports. I think, and if you have anything dealing with Davis Bacon compliance, you can also include that here as well. Your Mebi-Weebi reports, which is a key component to this grant, too. Those reports go up to our grants management office. And any and all of your loan and sub-grant success stories, if you have any press releases, newspaper articles, fact sheets, and what have you. And part five, which is correspondences, you can have all of your internal and external mail and letters, your faxes, your notes, your memos, your handwritten notes, anything that you may want to jot down, anything that you think that may be necessary to capture as a revolving loan fund project officer, you can put under your part five. And last, your part six, which is termed here, your brownfields proposal information. And in this part, we generally include the original proposal, your congratulatory letter, and as well as your fact sheet. I think this fact sheet is generally generated out of D.C. And I think this fact sheet is a fact sheet that is kind of like shown nationally to other, well, actually to the nation. So here in Region 4, that's kind of like what we do or what we pretty much put in our revolving loan fund grant file folder here in Region 4. Now, I know that went kind of quickly. In the essence of time, and with this being Halloween, I'm going to now turn it over to Greg Bidet and let him kind of like go through his process from a grantee standpoint. Keep in mind, what I just spoke before was dealing strictly with how a revolving loan fund project officer will set up their revolving loan fund grant file folder. Thank you. Greg?
Thanks, Wanda. And Greg, I pulled your presentation up, and since everybody is force muted, you would just need to hit #6 to unmute your phone.
How's that? Can you folks hear me?
Yep, we can hear you. Thank
you. Okay, great. Well, thanks, Megan. Thanks, Wanda. Just for the record again, it's Greg Vidé. I'm the Economic Development Coordinator with the Treasure Coast Regional Planning Council in Stuart, Florida. And we've been running an RLF program, EPA-funded RLF program, since 2005. So what I wanted to kind of go over with you folks today is the kind of the grantee's perspective on program management and sort of keeping organized, because it is a challenging program, and you know, keeping your files and program files up to date is really part of that challenge. Next slide, please. So we have in our office, we use a 5-part file system, and I think it works really well. I mean, you could certainly add a few more to this, but it's basically the five. It's a proposal file, an award file, a program file, and an administrative record project file, and an audit file. And I'll give you the details on each of these as we progress. Next slide, please. So the proposal file is important because many times when you're administering an RLF program, you want to understand what it is that got you into the program in the first place. And that's going to be really contained in the original EPA grant proposal that you submitted for funding. So that's going to talk about the partners, that's going to talk about the potential projects, the sites. So in that proposal file, you should have the original proposal that was submitted, a list of potential sites, project partners, and anything that kind of shapes the program going forward. Next slide, please. So after you've successfully submitted your proposal and you've won the EPA cooperative agreement, the next thing that we do in our office is we set up an award file. So an award file is important because, of course, it's got your EPA cooperative agreement with all the terms and conditions attached to that. It also should have your EPA-approved work plan, and that's a work plan that you'll work on, of course, with your EPA project officer. You'll have your signed cooperative agreement. You'll have your detailed project budget by expense categories and your project timeline. And I think what's important here is that this file is populated really after you have the EPA award announcement, when you start working on the work plan and getting your project shaped up and your budget ironed out. So all grant documentation is contained here, inclusive of detailed budget and grant timeline with milestones. I created grant timeline with milestones almost on an Excel spreadsheet, and I have a big 11x17 that I hang up on my wall. And it's got all the milestones, quarterly reporting, federal financial reports. So I know exactly at any time, in any month or any week, I know what I have to do on a monthly and quarterly basis. Next slide, please. So your program file is really going to be very comprehensive file, because it's really going to contain basically your day-to-day materials that you're going to be accessing and using. The first important piece is that the program file contains all the relevant loan policies and procedures, inclusive of collateral materials and application forms. So when we got our RLF funded back in 2005, We had a detailed loan policy and procedures manual that we developed, and so I can turn to that document to see what steps I need to do when I'm looking at a potential loan, what sites might be eligible, what kind of entities would be eligible, and I keep that close to my desk that I can refer to. But of course, as you can see here, it's got you should have a paper copy of your subgrant application and your loan application. We make these available also on our website, So people can, I can direct people to the website to download, access, an access application form, so it's really easy for them to get to. In terms of the program manager materials just migrating over there, you should have the quarterly report templates here that are developed from your work plan. Basically the list of approved consultants that you're going to be working with to undertake the activities that you might be doing, your team contact list, basically, the important thing that I want to leave with you folks here is that program manager's project accounting should reconcile to the EPA budget categories. So that's really important. Next slide, please. So the administrative record project file really is populated after the program file is established, and it's really designed to contain all the project-specific materials relating to cleanup, your community relations plan, your project budget, your cleanup contractor information, the various loan or grant applications that were submitted to you, and the related agreements that follow through from those, and of course your generic and or site specific QAP that might be developed. It's also important to get site photos. That's something we're doing on a very regular basis now. We ask all our sub-grantees or our loan recipients and our consultants that are working with us to make sure we have before and after pictures, because it's important for us to have those as part of the record, and it's also important to provide those to EPA when you close out your grant. Next slide, please. So why is an audit file important? Well, an audit file is important because EPA may conduct a limited scope review of a grantee's administrative and financial management systems for managing EPA grant funds. And we actually had a limited scope review not too long ago. I believe it was about a year and a half ago. And during that process, the folks that were contracted by EPA to conduct a limited scope review actually spent 2 full days in our office, and they reviewed our program management files and capabilities. They tested our financial systems, and they interviewed myself as the program manager, and they also interviewed our financial manager. And so what I want to leave with you folks today is that, of course, when you manage a revolving loan fund program, you really have to have a very strong relationship with your financial manager in-house, and the two of you folks really need to work in close concert, because your financial manager, of course, is managing the financial statements and all of the documentation related to the grant, and you're managing the grant, so you really have to work in concert. But the audit file really contains the important written policies and procedures for procurements with respect to purchases, goods and services, all your consultant contracts, your subawards. The file should also contain the grantee's most recent financial statements and audits. What's important that I leave with you folks is what internal controls does the grantee have in place to ensure that costs charged to EPA grants are reasonable, allocable, and allowable. And those are something that a limited scope review is going to directly ask. Next slide, please. This just, and it's a busy picture, and I apologize, but basically this kind of is your cheat sheet. This kind of gives you a summation of the files that we've talked about with notes on the side and suggested materials that should be in those files. Next slide, please. So what I want to switch over now is to some thoughts about program considerations. One of the important things when you have a revolving loan fund through EPA is that you have a cost share requirement. Now, your cost share requirement can be met by the cooperative agreement recipient. Of course, that would be ourselves or yourselves, as the case may be. Or it could be the loan recipient or in fact, the subgrant recipient. If it's borne by the loan recipient or the subgrant recipient, the application really needs to reflect that local match. And that's what we do. We actually have a space for indicating what local match is being put into the mix. So we know right up front where that 20% is coming from. Next slide, please. Okay, thank you. I know you folks know all this, but as far as only eligible programmatic costs can be reimbursed by EPA, administrative costs are not allowed. The other funds to consider to offset programmatic expenses include other federal grants such as EDA district planning grants, public work grants, and HUD community challenge planning grants, CDBG funds, and so forth. Next slide, please. It's really important that you as the RLF grantee make sure that you update acres on a regular basis, but really especially after site milestones. For example, completion of completion of a phase one or phase two ESA, which would happen before you put a loan out to a for cleanup, completion of a site assessment report, receipt of a site closure letter from your Department of Environmental Protection or regulation, as the case may be. The consultants hired to complete assessments and or site cleanup activities should really help you update acres on a regular basis. And what I would say to folks is, we were talking about this at the Brownfields conference the other day, RLF grantees should have their own password and login for acres. And I recommend that if you're working with a consultant, they have their own user ID and password so that they're not using necessarily your user ID and password. Oh, you can provide that if you like, but we just like keeping ours separate. The agency program manager should review acres update after the input by the consultant and make sure that everything is up to date. And financial reports should be filed on a periodic basis with your finance manager. So that's why it's important to have a good relationship with your in-house financial manager. And that's my contact information.
Great. Thanks so much, Greg. I thought I would pause here and see, before we went on to the next presenter, and see if folks had questions. You can either type a question into the chat box, or you can unmute your phone by hitting #6 and just asking your question verbally. I think that Greg hit on and Wanda hit on really good points, and as you can see, we kind of organize our files similarly. And I think one big takeaway from Greg, since they did go through an audit recently, is I thought it was really important that you pointed out that you needed to have a really good, tight relationship with your financial manager, and a good reminder to folks that besides looking through your files, they would be interviewing you, and it sounded like testing your financial system. So that's another thing to make sure you're on the up and up with and keeping in contact with your financial manager to make sure you could pass that point. So are there questions for Greg or Wanda? I'm not. Oh, somebody typed that she was asking the five file would include all the information mentioned in each project file. Greg, I think that was a question to you. Shelley sounded like she might have just been a little confused about what the five file folder would include.
Okay. Oh, okay. So they're five separate files. As you see on the that slide there. So the five separate files are sort of independent of one another, if you will. And I guess you can sort of look at them as different files at different stages in the project, if you will. So your proposal file will contain your initial information before you got the EPA cooperative agreement. Your award file would contain your cooperative agreement, your work plan. The program file is your sort of your day-to-day file, if you will, which has your RLF loan policies and procedures in it, your financial report template, your administrative record file, are the documents that you need to have on hand, because these are the files that EPA is going to be looking to get copies on, your community relations plan, your project budget, your contractor contracts, and things like that. Is that clear, Shelley?
Yes, she said she has it now.
Yeah, okay. It is. And I apologize. I guess I was thinking when you were referring to this five-part folder, that you were referring to a five-part folder, like a six-part folder that we use.
No, it would be too complicated. I know our financial
thinking, yeah. And I do it the way you're speaking, but then, yeah, I don't know, maybe, I'm sorry, I was thinking too hard.
Oh, no, that's okay. There's another question?
There is another question, and I think this could go to you, and then we could ask Kate, too, after her presentation, about any tips on keeping records filed electronically versus hard copies.
Well, boy, that's a... That's a tough question. I mean, I guess I'll be very honest. So what I'm talking about here is of course, you know, hard copies, but there's also a, you know, there should be an electronic copy of all these documents so that, God forbid, you know, something happens to the paper files, you have the, electronic, files. So really, the electronic files should be duplicates to the paper files. Is that?
Yeah, that I would think, you know, I don't manage an RLF grant like you grantees do, but I would imagine you would want to keep that kind of in two separate places.
Absolutely.
Just in case. Let's see. The next question is from Stephen Winsow. It says, on the match, do you ask a loan applicant to document that at the time of the application? Is that how you do it, Greg?
Yes, we do. And Stephen, to answer your question, yes, because when, you know, the applications, you know, they take a while to go through. So we ask folks to document the match that they have. Now, if they don't have the match in place until, let's say, 30 days later or 60 days, sometimes they're working on a grant or, you know, they're trying to secure a resolution from their local government or whatever the case may be, it doesn't have to be in place at the time they make the application, but it should be in place at the time that you actually close the loan. So I think you can have some flexibility there. But we just want to make sure that we know that the 20% cost share is going to be met somehow.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. And then before we move on to Kate, there's one more question from Aaron Hazelton. Oh, this is sort of a similar question with email retention requirements. How important is it to file a hard copy of emails versus in an electronic folder? And I think we were just saying that it's probably best to do it in both places.
Well, it is. And I think I apologize. I think it's 7 years, right, Megan, to keep the files, I believe?
Yes. We're actually going – there's a bit of confusion here at EPA about how long we're supposed to keep them. We have said 7 to 10 years, and we are working on coming out with a guidance document that tells – that clarifies once and for all how long we need to keep these things.
Yeah. And the only thing I would add to your question, Aaron, is that We have an off-site storage facility because, of course, you can imagine our files, you know, they get overwhelming. So we do have an off-site storage location with limited access. So if we need to get to those older project files, we can. But we do keep everything.
Great. Well, thanks so much, Greg. This was super helpful. I'm going to bring up our final presentation of the day, and this comes from Land of Sky. I'm just pulling it up right now. Oops. Sorry, Kate. Somehow I got not to the beginning of your presentation. Here it is. Okay, Kate O'Hara.
Hi, everybody. Wake up now. It's almost time to take your little snooze, but wait until I'm done. I'm going to give you a little bit different perspective on grant management file keeping. In addition to the 5 or 6 parts file folder that Wanda and Greg talked about, that covers your entire RLF program. What we do at Land of Sky, and I should have introduced myself and told you who I was, we do things just a little bit more. We got our first RLF in 2005. We've had several supplemental RLF grants since then. And although we don't have a big program in terms of a lot of loans, we do have several sub-grants. We do have one loan that's closing in on close to $1 million with one particular project, but it's a really great project. So we've got a little bit more flexibility in our program because we don't have, you know, probably 40 loans to manage, which some of our other grantees have. What I was going to show you was I do a site-specific revolving loan fund file. And I use a 6-part file folder, not to be confused with the 6-part file folder that Wanda uses. But what I have on here, I don't know what happened to these slides here. They're a little screwy.
I know. I apologize. It's just the software. It just makes it a little crazy.
Okay. So these are what I have in each one of my project files, which would be one loan application, one sub-grant proposal. Each folder, each one of my projects gets its own 6-part folder. And these are the things, these things that I have listed on this page are all things that I include in that particular folder. Now, you've got your general APCA, you've got your general information application to EPA for your RLF program. But this is very specific to the actual application. Each project that I have has its very own file folder, and these pieces are included in it. And what I've done is we obviously have this administrative record requirement. These are things that EPA says you absolutely need to make available to the general public on each particular project. And some of the things that you should have in this administrative record are any kind of news releases relative to your project, your APCA, which for those of you who are just getting started is your analysis of brownfield cleanup alternatives that says, here's what we can do, here's how much it's going to cost, here's why we're going to do it. You're going to have your remedial action plan, which has been approved by either your state brownfield program manager or EPA. You're going to have your community involvement plan, which talks about how you're going to involve your community in that particular project, any photos, obviously the name and contact information for the spokesperson for that project. Now, that may be different in each file because you may have one project that the county is the lead on. You may have another project or you've got a nonprofit. And so you want to make sure that the person's contact information is very specific to that particular project. If you are using a brownfield agreement or a liability protection document through your state, if you have that available, If it is applicable, you would want to put that in your administrative record. And then one thing that I do tell my borrowers, my potential borrowers, is personal financial information we do not put out as part of the administrative record. So this is just a – what I've done is I've thrown in a couple sample documents. People say to you, we saw on earlier slides, well, you need to have a copy of your public review notice. This is what it actually looks like. People say, will tell you that you have to have a non-legal a review of your app and make it available, and you have to tell the community what's going on. This is just a sample of what you want to send to your newspaper and tell them that the analysis is of alternatives, any of the documents relative to a specific project are available, and you can look at them at this particular place. So you want to have them available at a library. You want to have them available at your local offices. The one thing that you do want to make sure is that these reviews are available after hours. You don't want to limit people to 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And then a place where people, if they have questions, they can contact. Okay. We talked a little bit about a community involvement plan. This is something that you want to have for all of your projects, and you want to have it in your file folder. And basically it talks about how you are going to involve your community in the particular project. So it's going to talk about an overview of the project, who your spokesperson is, what happened to the site, what does the site look like, a little bit of information on the history, how you're going to involve your community, or do you have a loan review board, do you have a neighborhood review board, does this go out to the public? Who are the key community contacts and local officials in that community that should know about this particular project? There should be a listing of who your media contacts are for this, where your meeting places are going to be. And EPA does have a template. It's a community involvement plan template that is really easy to follow. And if you use that, you should not be getting into any trouble. Right, Wanda?
That's right.
Another piece that goes in your folder is your consultation letter with the environmental, your ESA consultation. And basically what you're doing is you're letting the local people know that you're going to be working on a particular project, and you want to make sure that what you're planning to do doesn't have any environmental impact on fish, wildlife. This is just a generic letter that tells your local officials that you're planning to do some work, what you're planning to do, what the work consists of. Give them a site map and say thank you. Their response, as well as a copy of this letter, should go in your file folder. Same thing with historic preservation. Under your cross-cutting measures, you're going to be required to consult with your local historic preservation office to make sure that anything you do does not impact historic preservation. What I try and do is assume and tell the historic preservation office that nothing is going to impact it. So basically what we do is we say, we kind of looked at this. We don't think anything that we're doing is going to impact on historic properties. So we're going to ask you to investigate this and concur with us. We don't ask them, do you agree? We ask them, please concur. We say, yeah, we think we're in good shape. Here's a description of the property. Here's what it looks like. And so we're saying we don't think anything is going to impact this. Please send us a letter saying that you agree with us. That response letter, which I believe they have 30 days to respond, should go in your file folder also. If your developers are using historic tax credits as part of their funding sources, they're going to have a ton of necessary documentation that they have gone through with the State Preservation Office, and you can ask them for information on that, too, and keep that in your file folder. You want to have a commitment letter. Once you've decided that you're going to make this loan or subgrant, you want to keep a copy of your commitment letter in that particular folder. Now what I'm suggesting is this is just a suggestion. I keep a separate folder for each project. If you want to keep them all in one file folder in your general RLF file folder, there's nothing wrong with that. What I find is if I've got multiple projects, I don't really want to carry a 5-pound folder around. So if I have a 1-pound folder that is only for one particular project, it makes it a lot easier for me. This is just a sample commitment letter that you are going to send out once your loan board has approved your loan. It gives a term. It gives a maturity date. It gives the interest rate. It gives the payment and interest. Obviously, whatever your terms and conditions are that you have negotiated with your borrower should be in there. If you have any additional terms and conditions, sometimes your loan board will ask for additional conditions to be placed on the project. For example, if you're doing a housing development cleanup, you may want to ask for a specific amount of set aside for affordable housing units on that particular project. That's all up to your internal policy. If you are asking for a personal guarantee, which I always do, put that in the letter and state that you are going to be asking for an unconditional personal guarantee. Tell them that you want, remind them that you want the insurance on that. We require that the closing costs and the recording fees be paid by the borrower. So I put that in my letter. Closing costs and fees are the responsibility of the borrower and shall be paid at the time of closing. So that sets everything right up front, tells everybody, you know, this is part of your responsibilities. You're going to pay. These are all things that we talk about at the very beginning of the application, but it's really important to have it in writing. A little bit about match. I know Greg talked about it, Wanda talked about it. This is just a very short sample of a match report that I use. And what I've done is the tasks that are listed on the bottom are tasks that are internal to our program, and we identify the match by the particular task. For example, task number 5 was actual cleanup and redevelopment planning. If you are managing a cleanup project for a local government, for example, and they pay you to do that planning, to manage that contract for cleanup, and they are paying you out of their own money, those funds are eligible for match. An application fee can be used for match. The third one down, the town of Whoville's in-kind staff salary, a lot of times we will be working with nonprofits who don't have a lot of money or local governments, small municipalities that don't have a whole lot of money, and they actually participate in the cleanup project. They hold public meetings. They make their staff available for questions. They have people on staff who help with paperwork. Anything that can be used that is actually specific to that cleanup project can be considered match. But what you want to make sure is that you have that documented. Time that a staff person spends on a public meeting for a particular cleanup project should be documented through their finance office. You put that in your file folder. Again, your match can be money, labor, material, or services. We do ask our borrowers to provide the match. Oftentimes, in the case of one of my loans, they have traditional financing supporting the cleanup, and so they they show as part of their financing package where their match is going to come out of that traditional financing. And again, things like nonprofits documenting their time. Okay. This is just a suggestion. This is how I set up my folder. The inside cover, I have my little checklist, which is all of those things that come to the project. Section one went backwards. In section one, I have things like, you know, just your general application, your financials, your preliminary information for that particular project. In the second section, I get into the meat and potatoes of the project, the reports, the action plan, your CLAP, your consultation letters, anything that is specific to that particular project. Those in the second section. And then I have a section on my funding commitments where I've got the sources and uses of the funds that the borrower has shown me, copy of the deed of trust, the note, guarantees, any financial documents that you use to guarantee that loan. I have a section where I keep the Davis-Bacon wage rates and the employee interview forms and the payroll reports. If your borrower has a qualified environmental professional, or QEP, overseeing the work on that particular site, that QEP should be submitting their Davis-Bacon wage rate forms and reports and interviews to you so that you have a copy of those on the file. A lot of times you may be working with a local government or a nonprofit that doesn't have that kind of help available, and you might end up doing that. So I keep a separate section in the file folder specific to that. Then in another section, I have the actual cleanup piece of that. How did they procure their quality environmental professional? Where's their budget? Where's their contract? Does the contractor have insurance? That all goes in there. And then in the last section, I have my actual financial information, invoices, requests for reimbursement, and any backup documents that go to that particular invoice. Here we go again with record retention. Megan said they're going to come out with clarification on that. My feeling is I'm keeping everything until they tell me it's okay to destroy it. And if you operate, this is really important. If after you close out your original RLF grant, if you are fortunate enough to get to that place where you close out your original grant, or maybe unfortunate because you don't want to close it out, keep it going. If you operate your fund with doing other environmental activities with your funding, make sure you keep those records. Obviously, you have negotiated that requirement with EPA. You want to make sure that those records are available and that they're available to you at any particular time, and especially to your auditor, too. Let me see what else. I think that was all I had on records. And then some miscellaneous stuff. Wanda had asked about updating acres. Again, Greg mentioned it, too. It's not that difficult if you are managing your acres information program yourself. Go in once a month. Go in whenever you have an extra 15, 20 minutes. Update it as much as you can because you will forget. When you pay an invoice, if you have increased your amount of funding, I always update prior to submitting my quarterly reports. It gives me an idea. It reminds me what I need to include in my quarterly reports. My financial records, we have a finance office. Again, as Greg said, work very closely with your finance person. I send her a copy of my match report because that goes into the quarterly report. And then just a little thing about Land of Sky. We are a regional planning and development commission, and we are enabled by the state statute to operate a revolving loan fund, and that gives us the authority to have a loan program. This is my contact information, and I'll take any questions that you may have.
Great, Kate. Thanks. That was awesome perspective and super and really helpful. I wanted to clarify something before we opened it up to questions for Kate. I saw a question pop up that asked if CDBG was eligible as a match. And, yes, CDBG, that is the Community Development Block Grant from the Department of Housing and Urban Development, that program funding contains a very, very specific language that allows these federal funds to be used as a cost share for other federal grants. But it's the only one that I know of. There may be other people can speak up of federal programs that can be used as a match. But yet that's always been eligible to be used as a match. So just wanted to clarify that. And Kate? Go ahead. If folks have questions for her, I can read some questions in the chat box. Just a reminder, you need to unmute your phone to ask a question, and the unmute button would be #6. Are there any questions for Kate? Or any of our other panelists?
We must be very good. Either that or
I guess so. Okay, last time, any questions? And just a reminder that you would need to unmute your phone to ask the question. Okay. Well, we are then going to end about 5 minutes early.
There is a question that was posted on the chat. Could you address that, please?
Which question? The CDBG?
No, I guess it isn't a question, but is USDA can be used?
Oh, I'm sorry. I see that. It wasn't up. I don't know. It would depend on what USDA fund it is. I don't know how to answer that question.
Yeah, Megan,
this is Tom Stahl. Yeah, Kate, I saw one of your slides about the cost share has to be from a non-federal source. That's the only reason why I had that question.
Hey, Megan, it's Greg Vidae at Treasure Coast. As far as I know, one USDA program that I know for sure is the Intermediary Relending Program, which provides money to rural areas. As far as I know, a loan under the IRP program can be used as a local match as well.
Oh, great. And what is it called, the Intermediary?
It's called the Intermediary Relending Program. It's the USDA. Yeah, Intermediary Relending Program.
Okay.
This is Kate. I just wanted to say that, you know, when you talk about match, eligible match, remember that it's funds that are used that would normally be eligible to do this cleanup. So if you're talking about, God forbid, if somebody should give you administrative monies to do a project, you can't use that as match. If a private developer is borrowing money from a traditional lender to help pay for the actual cleanup, then that money is considered match. So your match has to be an eligible activity too.
Right.
So just saying, you know, if you've got CDBG money in a project and you're not using that money for an eligible activity, it's not going to match. It's not going to work as match. It has to be an eligible activity.
Right.
Which I think everybody knew.
Are there other questions out there right now? I'm not seeing any come up on the chat box. Okay. Well, I guess we will end right on time. I really appreciate Kate and Greg and Wanda for coming on. I hope that folks learned something. I'm going to post this to the RLF website. I'll put the link again at the bottom of the chat box when we hang up today, so you can go and get that. And I'll also do a little summary of the required items that both Kate and Greg touched on, and we'll post that as well so folks will have that as a reference besides these great presentations. Like I said, we're going to try to continue doing these webinars every 6 to 8 weeks. I will probably wait until after the holidays to do another one. But I'll talk to the regional POs and see if we might be able to get one in December, but I just want to make sure that there's enough people around to benefit from it. So probably look for one in early January. And please leave any comments you have if this was useful or not useful, any ideas for future webinars. We are completely open. We want to keep this forum going. And we're really planning some great things for 2014 and really appreciate everybody joining today. And as I said, we're always here if you have suggestions for webinar topics or questions that you want to follow up on. So with that, I'll say thank you and happy Halloween to everyone. Hope you have fun in your communities and that it's not rained out like it sounds like it's going to be a bunch of places. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The leader has disconnected. The conference will be terminated in 2 minutes. The leader has disconnected. The conference will now end.